Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by a guest speaker at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for today's message.
I know everyone who gets up here says good morning, so I'm going to do it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think this is the largest crowd I've preached in front of in over a year. So I was given the task of preaching in about 12 minutes. Now, anybody who knows a preacher knows that's a task. And any of you who've preached understand how big of a task that is. So I planned for about 2 minutes, knowing that about five times that my sermon will unfold, okay? It's really good to be here. We have enjoyed much company and much food. I think I've gained about 20 pounds since being here. And actually, on the way back from Lubbock yesterday morning, Jen mentioned on the phone, I think it was to Christina, we're getting ready to have dinner with them last night. She said, I think we're going to go on a fast when we get back. And I think it's going to be a month-long fast. So we appreciate the hospitality and all your love and all the hugs. And we just thank you so much for all the prayers as well. You guys are wonderful. You have no idea how wonderful you are. You think you know how wonderful you are. But you are absolutely wonderful. And we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Between 6,000 and 10,000 churches are dying in the United States every year. Every year. I'm sure you've read stuff like this. So what that means is there are 100 churches that will die this coming week. And, of course, thousands of others are on life support. At one time, America was widely considered to be a Christian nation, whatever that means. But that really isn't true anymore. An article that went out a few months ago by The Atlantic has noted that even though most Americans still consider themselves to be Christian, the numbers are telling us a very different story. Many of our nation's churches can no longer afford to maintain where they're at. 6,000 to 10,000 every year. Let that number sink in, 6,000 to 10,000, and the number will likely grow. If you follow trends, they want you to think that the number will likely grow, though more than 70% of our citizens in this nation proclaim and claim to be Christian. Congregational participation is less central to most Americans' faith than it once was. Most denominations are in decline as well. They share in this overall trend, and it's been falling for decades. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated, also labeled the nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, that share of the population is growing at a rapid pace. In fact, the nuns have risen from 6% of the population from 1991 to 25% today. That is a lot. So here's this awful, depressing picture of what American society looks like today. But maybe it's not that bad. Maybe if we looked at our scripture and we see when Jesus Christ said that on this ground I will plant my church, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never what? They'll never destroy the church. So we look at these numbers and we get depressed and we say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We rely on the power of God. It's got nothing to do with us building the church, but it has everything to do with God using us to build His church and for us relying on His power and His Spirit and the blood of His Son. And that's it. So we can look at these numbers and get depressed and say, you know what? What's the point? Who cares? When I look at my neighbors and I look at my school and I look at my hospitals and I go to Walmart, who cares? Nobody cares. We were out in the park last night in Wichita Falls, the Lucy Park, right? There was a dress-up thing. There was some pretty fun dancing happening. But Jen and I had mentioned we are continually amazed at the way parents let their kids dress in Halloween costumes. There were some things I'm like, what? You look at that and you're like, no, what's the point? Nobody cares about church and God anymore. But that's not true. That's not true. Don't listen to the lie that Satan has said. You know what? It's not worth it anymore. It's too much work. It's too much hurt. It's too much time. It's not worth it anymore. We, this year in Guelph, I want to give you a little snippet. We have taken a theme from Acts chapter 2, and we've called it Thrive. And that's what we've been looking at all year. What does it mean to thrive as a church? Well, first, let's see what the definition of thrive says. To grow vigorously, to flourish, to gain wealth, and to prosper. That's what thriving means. Just a little note, I didn't know there was a past tense of thrive. I knew thrived, but did you know that you can throve too? Well, she throved last year. I throved last year. So here's the definition of thrive: to flourish, to grow vigorously. Think about that as a church. In Acts chapter 2, if you have your scripture, have your Bibles or your devices, turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm already halfway done my time, and I'm not even halfway through my sermon. So, if you've got your running shoes on, we're going to run here. Acts chapter 2. We're just going to read one verse. Verse 42, Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do you know that word devote is only 6 times in the New Testament? And most of those times has to do with some of the elements here that you see in Acts 2, 42. So, what's the idea of thriving here? The apostles' teaching. Let's take a look at what that is. The apostles' teaching. You see, they did not have these. They did not have these. We, in the United States, the West, we have an abundance of avenues to look at Scripture, to read Scripture, and yet I think we go to it the least in the world. We have homes with maybe over 2 handfuls of Bibles on their shelves. And there are many places around the world that you can't even go to the store and buy one. So what is this idea of thriving in Scripture? Well, thriving in Scripture, this picture of devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devote means to love or to loyally follow a person or a cause. To continue to do something with laziness. I mean, intense effort. Intense effort. They devoted themselves to the Scripture. Well, they couldn't open it up in the morning with their cup of coffee and intensely get in it. They couldn't do that. They had to get together to hear Scripture or to listen to somebody who memorized a bit of Scripture. Why would they do that? Why would they devote an intensely effort in Scripture? Well, we'll get to that. Cliffhanger. They also devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, fellowship is not just this idea of, hey, we're just going to visit, although that's wonderful and great and a good thing to do. The idea of fellowship to the Greek was more about commonness of mission, of direction, and a goal. Something that we're going to accomplish. That's the idea of fellowship to the Greek. And so these early Christians are hearing what fellowship's all about. Maybe the Jew knew that around the table, and the Greek knew that in the home. But there is a common mission now, not just to be neighborly, just to be friendly, but to accomplish God's mission. It was an overflow of the love that God had for them. You see, you jump down from 42, down in verse 46, they sold all their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds as any had need. That was the commonness. This is no longer mine, but it's ours. In fact, maybe it's yours. God gave me a gift, and I'm going to shower it on other people. Why would they do that? Why would they intensely effort for fellowship? We'll get to that. They also devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Why? What's this all about? It's about the table. It's about getting together and seeing the symbols of Jesus' death, his blood and his body on the table together. Sharing lives together. Being in close proximity with each other as we are in proximity to God. Together. Sharing this commonness. See, what's interesting about the table and breaking bread is you are completely vulnerable. If you have much, you probably put much on the table. But if you have little, you probably put all you had and that was it. And that's what you saw. So you could see that. But here, nobody cared about that. They came to just sit at the table. And it says that they shared their meals with joy and gladness. Because the table is an even playing field. All of my vulnerabilities are exposed, but yet we sit down at the same table. There's no longer king over here eating by himself and all the servants over there by themselves in a separate room. We're together breaking bread with gladness. Why intensely effort for that? Why? We'll get to that. They also devoted themselves to prayer. This is the sharing of the Spirit. You see, the disciples would go to the synagogue 3 times a day. And they weren't just polite prayers like, thank you, God, you're good and wonderful. But they were seeing God working in His Spirit now in front of them. They were seeing God move. They were seeing the Spirit move among them. They witnessed tongues of fire over their head. They saw it happen, and they heard these different languages. What is going on? Are these people drunk? No. These people are in love with God. Amen. Why intensely effort for that? Why? What's the point of that? Look at what happens. Look at what happened to all of this. Continue to read. Everyone was filled, in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed among the apostles. These four elements were foundational to the first church. And maybe they didn't all meet in a building like this or one place like this, but the one church met in many different places, in many homes. And they were filled. Every one of them was filled with awe. Who wants to be a part of that church? Anybody? I want to be a part of that church. When I see the Holy Spirit moving like that, I'm like, dude, where's that? Where is that? It's right here. The Spirit is right here. And they intensely efforted for those four things. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer. Because it was simple. And they could do it every time they got together. Whether it was going to the coffee shop. Whether it was walking down the street with a friend with your babies in the stroller. Whether it was going to Walmart to go buy some groceries. Whether it was just in your home and all you had was a cup of water and some bread. They intensely efforted for these things. Here's the one question. What are the top 10 things in your life that you go after with intense effort? What are the top 10 things? And of those 10, what four can you take and move and put these four things in? Because they're not hard. We already established you got this. You got some food. You got a table. You know how to pray. What four things out of those top 10 things can you move and run after with intense effort and say, you know what, God, I see you working in this church, in my life, in my home. And you look back at why. Why would they run intensely after these four things? Because Peter preached a gospel sermon in which he said, you killed the Savior. And they were cut. That changed their lives. I look around and I see that God has changed your lives. Why would you be here if he didn't? You see, God's mission is our discipleship. And it's about us being disciples who go and make disciples. And we don't have to go to Canada. We don't have to go to Burkina Faso. We don't have to go to Mexico. It's as you're going. It is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle. As you go, make disciples and make disciples. This is stepping into God's mission and saying, you know what? I'm going to work with you. I'm going to lock arms with you, and I'm going to work with you because I see you moving, not just in me, not just in my kids, not just in my church. I see you working around the globe, and he's working in ways that he's never worked before in different places of the planet that we've never seen in our lifetime. And we look at Canada. You know, these numbers that I just read off to you at the beginning, those were numbers in Canada 20 years ago. And we're still going to Canada. People are still going to places where it's hard. Because God works, God moves. God's mission is your discipleship, is our discipleship. And being disciples who make disciples is stepping into God's mission. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives in this church around the world. We thank you so much, God, that it is not of us. And we're so grateful, God, that you have called us to do mission, to be disciples. But you haven't done that and said, you know, figure it out for yourself. You've equipped us. And you're with us everywhere we go. In fact, you go before us. You go way beyond us and before us, and you clear the path for us. Though sometimes that path is hard. God, we thank you. We love you so much for the gift of your Son, for giving us a reason and a purpose and a mission to carry on, the same mission that he had for his own life, to make disciples of all the nations. God, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.